Carpooling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Glad you can join me as Marketplace continues to cover the fallout of the financial crisis. Besides the banks, the one group of companies that may be most desperate is the auto industry. GM, Ford, and Chrysler are all in trouble. They could all go under if things don't change. This morning's big news, the government is talking with GM and Chrysler about getting them some help. Our correspondent in Washington, Nancy Marshall-Genzer, joins us. Nancy, what form would this help take?
At this point, Scott, it looks like it would be a loan, a $5 billion loan, and that would come from the $25 billion in low-interest loans Congress approved for the auto industry already. The loan would be administered by the Energy Department. Now, there are a couple of other possibilities. The Treasury Department could use its authority under the $700 billion bailout package to help, although it's not clear what form that would take.
Okay, so what would GM and Chrysler plan to do with this loan?
They want to merge. GM and Cerberus Capital Management, of course, which owns Chrysler. And one analyst from Citigroup says that a merger would cost $10 to $12 billion. Because if you think about it, there are almost 100,000 factory workers working for both automakers. They have 11 different brands, 10,000 different dealers. There would definitely be some consolidation there, and initially that would cost money.
And why would the government want to do this?
Well, the automakers are in big trouble, and they are a major industry in the U.S. Moody's just cut its rating on GM bonds to junk status. Ford is also in junk status. So they're in real trouble. And they say if they went under, a lot of people and industries would be affected. So they say the government really needs to help them, or they could drag other businesses down with them.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And just a little more information on that. A trade group predicts 700 new car dealerships will close this year. That'd be almost 300 more than last year, 37,000 jobs in all. Wall Street opens in 90 minutes or so. Looks like a rebound is coming. The overseas stock markets bounce back pretty big today. A 6% gain for the Nikkei in Japan. Hong Kong shot up 14%. European shares are up about 4%. The Dow is at 8175, where it was in April of 2003. 200-point drop yesterday. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have a certain reputation now after what's happened in the mortgage market. But in Washington, they're also beloved for their contributions to nonprofits. Could be a big void to fill right now. Here's Rachel Dornhelm.
Hope in a Home provides housing to homeless families. It's just the kind of D.C. organization that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac always supported. Executive Director Dan Hall says those donors count.
Combined between both Freddie and Fannie, that's about a little over $200,000 and representing about 25% of our annual fundraising revenue.
Now he says the largesse is in question.
3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up occasionally thinking, okay, what can I do? You know, what strategies can I look at and work on to bring in the money?
The mortgage financers handed out about $42 million a year to D.C. nonprofits. Chronicle of Philanthropy editor Stacey Palmer says it was critical because D.C. is a government town without a lot of local corporate donors.
So charities really have to look hard to find major benefactors, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were among the biggest.
Of course, now they are a part of the government. Local nonprofits have started lobbying the Federal Housing Finance Agency to continue Fannie and Freddie's donations. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
We all know bears are roaming around Wall Street. That's one problem New York City has. But other parts of the city have a different problem. It's very, very quiet. Sally Herships has more.
New York City's streets usually throb with a certain unmistakable sound. But recently, the jackhammers have fallen silent. Mark Engel works with American Development. He says Wall Street's collapse has brought construction in the city to a standstill.
Developer can't do anything right now. That's the bottom line. He can't get financing.
Engel says it's difficult to get a loan these days because many banks have pulled out of the development business. Brian Lochner is head of investments for American. He says all this means American has to put more of its own cash on the line.
Those same projects may end up being as profitable on a dollar-for-dollar basis, but because we have significantly more exposure in the project, more skin in the game, our returns on every dollar that we invest are going to be smaller.
One big reason banks don't like developers right now, building owners are finding it increasingly difficult to fill all that new space. Real estate firm Cushman & Wakefield says commercial vacancy rates in Manhattan rose 25% between the end of last year and the summer.
Few tenants, a lot of spaces, so it's a very anxious market for these owners.
Rick Dana is a VP at Prudential. He says some tenants are taking advantage of the weak rental market.
They will stall. They will probably try to see which deals is being presented to them and then wait a few months and see which one they like better. And should the economy perk up or their specific industry look like it has an upturn, then they'll be in a better position to move.
All over Manhattan, colorful signs offering space for rent and for lease spell out the message that New York's commercial property market is on sale. Jay Neveloff is a real estate lawyer at Kramer Levin. He says this decline is unprecedented, but...
That's the good part about New York real estate. It really does come back, and it is a money center, and it's not as volatile in the long run as a lot of other markets.
Neveloff says New York's real estate market may be slow for a while, but he says the city's unique position in the global economy means you can bet on a recovery. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.